could profit from making it a problem will make it a problem. But in terms of those communities where there is already immigration, non-white immigration, those are communities that have had immigration for generations now. So they've become more elastic and accommodating and so on. They've got their structures in place and so on. But for those who would benefit, like I think in the VT we saw Nigel Farage and some others who do capitalize on making a problem out of, you know, things that convenient statistics and so on. So for them, the real thing to keep an eye on is keep an eye on those who are benefiting from that and, you know, read between the lines. What is this person or this organization getting out of it? Are they seeking funding? We've had individuals in the past like Tommy Robinson and the EDL who was done in for fraud and embezzlement because they were literally trying to profit off of people's fears while offering no solution at all. These are people in an organization who stand on the sidelines and try to break down social cohesion because of their individual benefit, whereas those of us who are involved with mosques or the youth or the elderly, or we are invested in the social cohesion of Britain, we're just knuckling down and trying to run things like, you know, like scout groups or mosques or youth groups or elderly groups and so on. We are the quiet minority. We want to see our communities really bring British society forward. We want to leave something for our children.
Absolutely.
We are the quiet majority.
And I think it's worth mentioning as well that this white minority statistic is kind of disputed in some cities because apparently it's a minority of people who identify as white British in some areas and maybe a minority, but actually they're still majority white cities if you include the other white ethnicities, so on and so forth. And so there is a dispute there. I'm going to come back to Paul because we haven't got long left in the show, Ahmed. I want to bring you in, Paul, and ask you again about what you mentioned earlier in the show about the fact that it's cool to be Muslim these days. Could you just elaborate on that point a little bit? Because obviously there's a bit more to Islam than it's just being cool. Could you perhaps define what you think she meant by it being cool?
I mean, that's not my term, by the way. This is Professor Linda Woodhead of King's College in a recent lecture called The Future of Religion in Britain. It's available on YouTube. I do recommend you watch it. And she breaks down these census statistics and the reasons why Islam is succeeding. She said that British Muslim cultural output is cool around the world. It's not just in London.
What do you think she meant by cool?
Well, I think she's referring to nasheed. She's referring to fashion, food, music, many different things like that are just so popular with youth. But at the core of it, she stresses, is Islam, actually. This is not just an external thing. It is the beating heart of Muslim youth.
Because there's obviously this thing right now which is popular on social media. I think it's called the Red Pill Movement. It's like this kind of, you know, stand up for your principles and against this new woke trend in the West, this liberalist ideas and that type of thing. Do you think that Islam, for that kind of reason, is seen as cool? It's kind of a bit more...
Yes, it's countercultural, it's not part of the
establishment. A bit more masculine kind of thing.
Yeah, the status quo. The danger with the red pill, in my personal view, is it can go to the other extreme. In critiquing the excesses perhaps of feminism or woke ideology, you then go to a very reactionary extreme the opposite way. And Islam is the middle path between these, and I think we need to focus on the Islamic teaching, the deen, but certainly there's much good in my view in that.
Absolutely, and obviously, you know, regardless of what comes up on social media, the red pill movement, wokeism, whatever else, there's only one Islam, and Islam has always been and will always remain, inshallah, with the steadfast work of loyal Muslims. So thank you very much, gentlemen. We've run out of time, unfortunately, for this edition of the programme, so no more questions to you, but I do appreciate your time in coming on, and thank you to everyone at home as well for tuning in, but unfortunately, this is all the time we have for this edition of Eye on Islam. Join us again next week for another edition, but for now, Assalamu alaikum.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Muhammad and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to you, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, we express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, the princess of the ladies of both worlds. This is the wording of Prophet Muhammad about Lady Fatima al-Zahra. When we take a look at the short life, about 18, sometimes to 20 years old, of the life of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, we could see that this short life had so many lessons for all the people. Even after so many years, 14 centuries, has passed, but still Lady Fatima al-Zahra is a role model, not only for Muslims, but the non-Muslims. And it's really interesting to know that the name Fatima, the girl named Fatima, is the most frequent female name selected from among the Islamic terminology for all the people. From Cordoba to Spain to, France, new converts who convert to the religion of Islam. Well, one of the three important priorities, choosing and selecting for the girl's name or changing their names from a Christian one to the Islamic one is Fatima. And this shows the significance of this character, in Islam. Today we want to talk about the priorities of Hazrat Fatima's life. How he acted in life and what were her most important selections in life, regarding lifestyle, ethics, religion, politics, social justice, and so on. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi al-Tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha, wa ba'liha wa baniha, wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha, bi'adadi ma ahatabhi ilmuk. When it comes to Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha, we see that she played a very great role in the history of Islam because her lifestyle is a kind of exemplary lifestyle for all the Muslims, not only Muslims, even non-Muslims. Because at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was a great daughter for her father, that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam named her as mother of her father.
Umm Abiha.
Yeah, because of what? It was because of this that Lady Zahra salamullah alayha always taking care of the Holy Prophet, looking after of the Holy Prophet, providing the Prophet whatever he needed. For example, when he wanted to go for the prayer, it said that Lady Zahra helped him, bringing him the water to make wudu, or give him the stick to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes the aba or the clothing, this kind of things, or amama, of things. And she was very much kind to the Prophet.
The daughter, the caretaker, daughter of the father.
From the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever Lady Zahra entered in a place where the Prophet was there, it is said it is narrated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he stood up and moved towards the door and kissed the hand of Lady Zahra and bring her sitting next to him.
That's
sometimes
right.
To his place.
Yes.
So this kind of respect that he gave to the Lady Zahra sallallahu alaiha, and that kind of love and kindness that he received from Lady Zahra sallallahu alaiha, it shows that Lady Zahra at the time of the Holy Prophet was a great exemplary kind of daughter for a father.
Because she was respected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
By the direct order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Lady Khadija was going to conceive, Lady Fatima, there were some prerequisites put for him.
Yeah.
Fast for 40 days, do not eat from this and that, only eat this and that. And And really out of sand, the yes. holy birth of Lady yeah. Fatima al-Zahra.
And when you go back to her birth, when yes. her mother, Lady Khadija salamullah alayha, gave birth to Lady yes. Zahra salamullah alayha, it is said that at that time, there was a kind of sanction hold against Lady, against Prophet and against Lady Khadija by the people of Mecca.
Yes.
And Lady Khadija salamullah alayha was alone in the house, yes. and no one, no women were there to help her. That's why it's said that in our narration it is mentioned that when Lady Khadija salamullah alayha gave birth to Lady Zahra, then four heavenly women came and helped Khadija salamullah alayha. It was Maryam salamullah alayha, Asiya. Four women, and now I cannot remember the name of those ladies. So these four heavenly women came to the house of the Holy Prophet and helped Khadija salamullah alayha to give birth to Lady Zahra. So her birth is a kind of special, a very unique kind of birth. And then when it comes to as a daughter of the Prophet, she was a great daughter to the Prophet. And when and it comes to be a mother to Hassan, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, and Lady Zainab salamullah alayha, and Umm Kulthum salamullah alayha, all these children, each one of them, we can say are the perfect or in the most highest level of values.
Yes.
These people. And when it comes to be a wife to her husband, such as Amir al-Mu'min, first of yes. all, only Lady Zahra was the lady
yes.
that could be like what we can say.
The nice companion to,
yeah.
and the match.
Yeah, the match yes. to the Amir al-Mu'min.
And sometimes they say vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
yeah that's, because that's she was the daughter yeah. of Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah.
And the we can't say yeah. the only we can't say Fatima to Zahra yeah, or Ali course. Was the yeah. best match.
Yeah. Yes, that's why right. when Lady Zahra, according to the narrations, according yes. to the historians, when Lady Zahra salamullah alayha was martyred,
yes.
and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein came to the mosque and told yes. Amir al-Mu'minin that his mother died.
Yes,
it is said that Amir al-Mu'minin could not
stand,
walk, stand.
Yes,
and going his towards his house. Yeah,
yes.
Because he felt lots of sadness, we can yes. say pain in his heart.
Yes.
Because he knew well that what's going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah, because death or martyrdom of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha had lots of signs for Amir al-Mu'minin.
The best supporter of Amir al-Mu'minin, yeah, yeah. Lady Fatima.
That what will happen in the future. Because from that time, we can predict that what will happen yes. to Imam Hassan yes. and Imam Hussein and Lady yes. Zainab salamullah alayha. Okay. If Zahra is treated in that way, so you can understand that the Karbala would happen.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's why
she
I think
was,
the Lady
like
Zahra's
credit,
role is
that's
great
right.
Yeah.
A credit to the society on that time. So many people after the demise of Prophet Muhammad referred to Lady Fatima al-Zahra to solve the problems, to ask the religious questions. She was a faqiha, you know. Yeah, you cannot yeah. believe that at the age of 18, so many people referred to the caliphs of yeah. that time, the great old men of the tribes, to ask the religious question on Islamic laws. But Lady Fatima, mm-hmm. how is it possible? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all right. Even changing the look at the women
yeah.
of the society on that time, with showing her high ranks. Okay, what other priorities she had in life, in her short life, Brother Muhammad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just to emphasize on the points that you were mentioning, I was just pondering on the inception of her birth.
Yes.
It was very lovely, as a matter of fact, and when I just give it a small thought,
yes, yes.
you realize that all the great personalities, they had a birth like none other.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Imam Ali, he had a birth in the Kaaba. Look
yes.
at the Prophet himself, the birth he had. Look at the Lady Fatima, the birth. They were very holistic. Their birth were spiritual. They gave importance in the conceiving of the embryo.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
But if you look on the opposite side, the killers are these same people.
Oh.
Shajaratun tayyibah and shajaratun khabitha. This is the embodiment, right? The beautiful tree, the most holistic and the most spiritual tree, is being destroyed and it's being annihilated by the worst of the worst of the people. Why? Look at their birth.
Even the heavenly food that was consumed.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Look at their birth.
Yes.
That's why it's very important. We
okay.
give importance to the to our family structure. To we make sure this is what I think the first lesson
yes,
we
yes.
take from the life of Lady Zahra
yes.
is that we give importance to our family structure.
Yes.
And even taking one step before that conception, in the ziyarat of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, if you look at the first phrase that is mentioned, يَا مُمْتَحَنَةُمْ تَحَنَكِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَكِ
yes.
فَوَجَدَكِ لِمَمْتَحَنَكِ صَابِرًا
yes.
O one who was examined, And while God was examining you, he saw you very patient.
Yes.
Meaning that this person from the inception of the creation was an extraordinary person.
Yes.
And that's why we see in her lifetime, she never was thinking about herself.
Yes.
Everything was someone else.
Mm-hmm.
She was very selfless to her. To her family, to her people, to her father. Umma abiha, meaning what?
Mm.
A daughter is never a mother to the father, but she was like a mother to her father.
Yes.
She was so selfless,
yes,
right? You know, daughters normally when they say, oh, daddy, give me this, daddy, give me that.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers don't do that. That's why the Prophet called her my mother.
Yes.
Meaning what? Meaning that she took care of him as if she was. If you look at her, the supplications she made during the nights, she would say, Al-jar thumma dar.
Yes.
Neighbor and then our house.
First neighbor than me.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
She was so selfless.
Yes.
After the Prophet came to the house of Lady Fatima, mm-hmm. he saw her in a very intense work.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't bear it. He shed tears right there. You know, see your own daughter, you know, a very young age, and she's working that hard for the house. The Prophet asked Fatima, the doors of heaven are open. Ask whatever you want to ask. Now, if it was for me and you, at least I can say for myself, I'd definitely ask for many things.
Yes.
Lady Fatima says, anything? Yes, anything.
Yes.
She says, give me the privilege of doing shafa'ah of my own people, of my Shias. Meaning what? She's not thinking about herself.
Yes.
Even when all the treasures are open for us, she's thinking about the people. She's thinking, she's so selfless. Even behind the door, I can tell you. Even behind the door when she was about to be martyred, she wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about her husband, Ali.
Just look how much emphasis in the Holy Quran is because given to some of the good behaviors of Lady Fatima al-Zahra and Imam Ali alayhi salam. We know all the story of three-day consecutive fasting, you know, and then giving away, you know, in the way of Allah and charity, you know, their breakfast into the poor and orphan, the captive on the way, Al-Asir, who was not even a Muslim.
Mm.
Or for example, the revelation of Surah Al-Kawthar, you know?
Yeah.
You know? That's all right. They mocked Prophet Muhammad for not having child, but now Allah...
Kawthar.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the best of the best of the women of the world.
Yeah. Fakhr al-Razi, he has an interpretation about this Kawthar. He says, there is no, because you know, there were many other scholars who came and they wanted to bring in other interpretations of Kawthar.
They said this is abundance or a
this and that.
Heaven,
but Fakhr al-Razi, being one of the greatest scholars of Islam, one of the very prominent scholars, Sunni, who was revered not only by the Sunnis but also by the Shia, he mentions in his tafsir, there is no other way that this means anything other than Fatima.
Yes.
Look at the progeny of Fatima. They tried to call the Prophet Abtar.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to annihilate his progeny. But there is no corner of the world you would not find the progeny of. Even if it's not the direct progeny, you would find progeny either through the daughter or the son. Even if not that, footsteps of Lady Fatima are there.
Yeah, the mother of the best of the progeny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. Thank you much.
Thank you.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
شفعة أنا لها
Food for thought. Hello, everyone, and let us ponder on a beautiful statement from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Often your utterances and expressions of your face reveal the secrets of your hidden thoughts.
A diverse range of programs. Youth, spirituality, culture, Eastern tales, roundtable discussions, politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime. If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cakeland, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop Cakeland after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do, and Number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well. Just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Irshan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Irshan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Irshan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington state. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five of the fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and welcome to this special episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Congratulations on this great Eid. Today is the birthday anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all Muslims, Christianity, and all free men of the world. Today, Sunday, is the first of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the fourth of the month of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. I entitled this part, Mary, the Blessed. Mary was a righteous woman whose mother had dedicated her to God's service even before she was born. As a young woman, Mary sought to purify herself further for her Lord. She withdrew from her people to a sanctuary in the East where she could meditate in seclusion and peace. During this period, Angel Gabriel visited her in the form of a man. He comforted her, declaring that God sent him to announce the glad tidings of a son. Stunned, Mary asked how this was possible since no man had ever touched her. Gabriel replied, "This is how Allah, God, creates what He will. When He has ordained something, He only says, be, and it is. That was from chapter 3 of the Holy Quran, verse 47. Shortly thereafter, the Quran recounts that Mary returned to her community carrying the child, Messiha, Jesus, son of Mary. Quoted from Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse 45. People accused her of being unchaste. Gabriel had already instructed her to abstain from conversation. Holy Quran, chapter 19, verse 26. So Mary simply pointed towards the child.
And one of the finest examples of humbleness that we have is Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. He shows you how to be a humble human being. You know, what's interesting when you examine the life of Jesus, the way he lived demonstrates to you that he wasn't God. He was a servant of God. First of all, who did he pray to if he's God? Number two, we see that Jesus was so humble. The Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad teaches us that Jesus once said that I sleep not on a comfortable bed or mattress. I sleep on the ground. And my blanket is not that very cozy, expensive blanket made of fur or whatever. My blanket is the sky. Jesus used to sleep on the ground under the sky. That's how humble he was. And my pillow is not that fluffy, comfortable pillow. It's the rocks. He used to sleep on stones and rocks. And I don't have any means of transportation except my two legs. That's how I travel. But then you know what he says? Then Jesus says, but there is no one on the face of the planet who is richer than me. See the beauty of his statement? Why? Because I don't need anything. The more you're in need and enslaved to the materialistic aspect of this lives, the poorer you actually become. And the more you find yourself that you have the willpower and the determination that I will rise above these material objects. I'll sleep on the ground. That's fine. I'm not a king. I don't need to be a king. Because I want to live like the poor, because I'm a leader for the poor. There is no one richer than me. And really, that's true humbleness. Why did he wash the feet of his disciples? Why? According to Prophet Muhammad, he quotes Jesus, peace be upon him, as saying, when he washed the feet of his disciples initially, they did not accept. Oh, Jesus, you're our prophet, we follow you, and you're washing our feet? Impossible. Impossible, we won't allow you to do that. He told them, no, I am being humble with you so you become humble with the people. I'm teaching you. This is peace, Jesus, peace be upon him. The symbol of humility and humbleness. Jesus is the perfect example of the servant of God, one who worships God. And he teaches us how to worship the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty God.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
And listen to this part entitled Jesus' Miracles and Message. God granted Jesus many miracles which began right after his blessed birth. The Quran testifies that in defense of his mother and of the truth, Jesus spoke as an infant, saying, I am a servant of God. He has granted me this scripture and made me a prophet, and he made me blessed wherever I may be. He commanded me to pray, to give alms as long as I live. chapter 19 of the Holy Quran, verses 30 and 31. This miraculous speech silenced the detractors. When he came of age, Jesus began to travel and speak throughout the land of Palestine. He taught the scripture that Allah sent to him, known as the Injil, good news or gospel, which confirmed the truth of previous holy books. Jesus taught that love and mercy overcome hate and anger. He stressed that only true and sincere faith in the Creator and obedience to Him can bring a person salvation in this life and the hereafter. To reinforce His message, God granted him the ability to perform miracles. He healed the sick, uplifted the distressed, and revived the dead. All of these miracles happened with Allah's permission, and Jesus never took credit for them himself. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio, and in this episode, we're speaking about Jesus, Messiah. Restoring Jesus' legacy, Muslims believe that every nation received a messenger from Allah. Just like the prophets before him, Jesus' message lasted in its original purity for a period of time, but the scripture he received was slowly altered, and his original call to absolute monotheism became corrupted. 6 centuries after Jesus, Allah sent his last messenger, Muhammad, and revealed his final scripture known as the Quran. Prophet Muhammad was sent to all of humanity, and he confirmed the miraculous birth of Jesus, the miracles he performed, and the essential truth of the messenger that Allah chose to reveal through Jesus. Today, Muslims seek to follow the original message of Jesus and all the prophets before him, as confirmed by God's final messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Islam literally means submission to Allah and is the same way of life followed by the messengers of God. Only by following the original call of God's messengers can we find clear direction and tranquility in our lives, inshallah.
On the evening of her delivery, Mary found herself on the outskirts of Jerusalem, walking somberly toward the temple with Jesus in her arms. When she reached the temple, she could feel the people's glances striking her like pointed arrows. Whose child was she carrying, they must have thought. Did she commit adultery, they must have wondered. The eager mob berated her, saying, Ya Maryamu, laqad ji'ti shay'an fariya. Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. O Mary, you have done something unusual. O sister of Aaron, your father was not a philanderer, nor was your mother an adulteress. The people became increasingly impatient with what they viewed as Mary's impudence. She refused to talk. They were accusing her of fornication, yet she did not speak a word in her own defense. She simply pointed at the newborn, as if to refer everyone's addresses to him. They protested incredulously. How can we speak to one who is yet an infant in his cradle? Then he spoke, Mary's son, Jesus, an infant swaddled in his mother's arms, spoke to them as a grown man would speak. With poise and a resonant voice, he announced, Inni Abdullah, atani al-kitab waj'alani nabiyya, waj'alani mubarakan aynama kunt. I am a servant of God, He has given me the book and made me a prophet, and he has made me blessed wherever I may be. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was asked what Jesus meant when he said, "And he has made me blessed wherever I may be," the Holy Prophet explained that he meant that God made me beneficial to people wherever I go, that he has given me the privilege to be at the service of his creation. Jesus expended great effort to train and nurture his followers. He paid special attention to his disciples so that they could continue his mission after him. He would take them with him wherever he went and draw lessons from the world around. On one occasion, they walked along the coast of a nearby sea. Each person had his own rations of food with him. Jesus took a small loaf of bread, which was part of his ration for the journey, and flung it into the water. When his disciples questioned him about this, he replied, "I did this so the creatures of the sea could eat it. The reward for such an act before God is great." With that simple act of charity, Jesus hoped to teach his disciples and all of humanity an important lesson on self-sacrifice and kindness to all of God's creation. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Dear brothers and sisters, it seems that our time is over. What you've just listened was the episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us, and may Allah bless all of you. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi,
Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.